Okay, think about your favorite song. You're probably thinking about the singer's voice or the melody or maybe the backbeat. But what about the crisp sound of the recording? Legendary audio equipment inventor Rupert Neve was instrumental in that regard. His pioneering innovations are responsible for shaping the sound of recorded music in the 20th century and beyond. Neve died earlier this month at the age of 94, and we want to take a moment to remember his legacy with Susan Rogers, a professor at Berklee College of Music who worked as a record producer and studio engineer for Prince, Bare Naked Ladies, David Byrne, and more. Susan, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to talk about Rupert Neve and be part of the program.
Yes, thank you for being here, Susan. One of Rupert Neve's best-known products is the Neve 8028 soundboard. Foo Fighters frontman Dave Grohl made that board the star in his documentary about the Los Angeles recording studio Sound City. Here he is speaking to NPR in 2013.
The Neve boards were considered like the Cadillacs of recording consoles. They just kind of look like they're from the Enterprise in Star Trek or something like that.
For those of us who aren't audiophiles, what purpose does this soundboard serve when recording an album? How does it shape the sound?
With a recording console, you're using that tool to sculpt the sound that is giving you the subtext in the musical story. So in the case of the Neve, I agree with Dave Grohl 100%. It was like a Cadillac. It had the thicker, fatter, warmer low end that was really hard to achieve. In the old days, Neve was building consoles that used individual components, which means that the auditory signal path had more room to travel. It was like a superhighway. So when you run your audio, your sound sources, whether it's your drums, your bass, your vocals, your horns, your piano, your strings, when you run it through a Neve console or any discrete console like that, you're going to pick up more information. Lower lows, higher highs. Things are going to breathe like the exhale of a singer's voice. You're going to be able to capture all that air that's coming out. So, of course, they were highly regarded and treasured.
Yes, here's Rupert Neve actually talking about this himself in 2015. Let's listen.
You bring a bunch of musicians in and make a recording, and they find that the guitar is kind of lost. So what do? You bring all the musicians in again, scouring the various nightclubs and so on into which they've all disappeared over the last week, get them all together again, and re-record. Very expensive, difficult.
Right, because he's talking about prior to the 1970s, these mixing consoles were pretty simple, which made it kind of difficult to make improvements to a recording after the fact. This is where this idea of EQ or equalization was born. What is EQ and how did it improve recorded music?
EQ is to audio a little bit like filters are to a camera. So they allow us to make boosts or cuts to the frequency spectrum. It is the art of EQ that an engineer must master, especially back in the old days of analog tape, when you had to make those decisions straight onto the tape. These days, with digital audio, you can make those decisions after the fact. But back in those days, an audio engineer had to be a sound sculptor who could make those correct decisions in the moment when you have a band on the other side of the glass. So you need to capture that signal to the best of your ability, deciding which frequencies are going to overlap on others, which ones are going to stand out. You're painting the auditory picture, and the tool that you're mainly using to do that painting is your equalization, your capacity to sculpt the individual sounds after the source.
Back to the 8028, that soundboard really defined the sound of classic rock. I'm thinking Fleetwood Mac, The Grateful Dead, Santana, Pat Benatar, and so many others recorded with the Neve board. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers recorded their classic 1979 album, Damn the Torpedoes, on the Neve board at Sound City Studios. Let's listen to some of Don't Do Me Like That. You know, we can hear how big those drums are in the beginning of that song. Why was the Neve board so suited to rock and roll?
It was ideally suited to rock and roll. In fact, it was a little bit harder to use that console with dance music. With rock and roll, you don't need a pointy, sharp kick drum. With rock and roll, you can have that low kick drum. You can have that low, fat bass. So for rock and roll, the Neve, with its big, expansive low end, was absolutely perfect. However, those low frequencies could be a little bit too much when doing dance music. Like, for example, with Prince, when I worked with Prince, the Neve would not have suited his sound because it was too much of a good thing. It was too much of that bottom that we didn't use in funk music and pop music in the 1980s. So record producers, recording engineers would choose a console based on the sound qualities that would serve them the best. The Neve just happened to be the one that served most record makers most of the time. It could pretty much do anything you wanted.
Oh, I'm learning so much. This is such an exciting conversation, Susan. You know, Dave Grohl actually owns that Neve board from Sound City. He bought it after the studio shut down. He says recording on that board during the sessions for Nirvana's 1991 breakthrough record, Nevermind, actually changed his life. As a recording engineer yourself, were there any moments in your career where working on a piece of music with equipment really made a piece of music shine?
Oh, yes. So a recording engineer is employing a running stream of decision-making. As your fingers are on that console and you're sculpting, you know what you want the sound to be, and you need this equipment to be responsive and to give you what you're looking for. It's no accident that Rupert Neve's designs were so beloved by so many. He must have been a musician on some level to understand musical instruments and to be able to make his console musical so it responded like a musical instrument, and was an essential part of the collaboration that we're all involved in when we make a record.
Yeah, that collaboration breeds magic. You know, all of the pieces coming together in that way. How does modern recording equipment measure up to these old Neve products, Susan?
Well, in today's world with digital audio, you've got virtually unlimited track space. So in the days when I worked in analog audio, we had 24 tracks, which meant that the record producer had to be a master arranger. So we were very limited. But today, you can have as many tracks as you want. Now, the other thing that the digital audio has done for us is something that's so bizarre to me, because I'm from the older era. The output sounds like the input. The sound that goes into the recording device is exactly the same as the sound that comes out of it. I'm an older engineer, so in my era with analog tape, that was not the case. It was nonlinear. Everything in the studio, the console, the tape machine, everything was going to distort the signal in some way. We liked it. We wanted it. We wanted the machine to speak to us in a certain way with its own unique sonic characteristics.
Well, it really speaks to a moment in time and how Neve products has really shaped a sound and shaped the experience for musicians.
Yes, and I'm fond of reminding students that just because a new technology has come along, it doesn't mean that the old ones have gone away. Of course, those tube microphones that we treasured back in the 1940s, they're still there, and they're worth a fortune today. So we picked up some new features, but we lost something in every stage. We lost a sound that we had become accustomed to. So every generation has to use the tools that they've inherited in the way that they see fit. But every generation, of course, has a greater range of tools to choose from. As long as we can keep those Neve consoles running, we will still have their sound for as long as we can do that.
That's Berklee College of Music professor Susan Rogers talking about the late audio equipment inventor Rupert Neve. He died earlier this month at the age of 94. Susan, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to speak with you.